This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. It's March 28, 2024. I am Atrol Pearl, and it's time for your TNA Wrestling Impact Post Show. Cresta, I feel a little fake when we do this because people don't always know if they're listening in only audio form that I suddenly just turn on some different version of myself to do this show.
You got to be a little fake to be in the biz, baby.
That's true. Do the work and be a little fake. Cresta Starr is here. She's not fake. She's totally real. She's got everything you need.
I don't know, man. According to some man on Twitter, all the girls that work at Fightful are just Sean AI. And I'm actually Sean Ross Sapp. And if you saw the interview that I did with Queen of the Ring, I was Sean Ross Sapp by way of Denise Salcedo. So, you know, I'm a guy in real life. So that's what girl stands for.
Yeah. No, that's exactly it. And I am not actually Canadian. I am the person who actually made all of those bots.
Well, fakes get exposed every day, B. I'm glad you guys are here for some fake wrestling, for some fake conversation with some fake people.
Listen, the face reveals don't always go well. That's all I'm saying. Dream didn't go well for him.
Oh, that's that young fellow. I do remember that. But the internet is mean. He could have been beautiful. And unless the expectations were unless he looked like handsome Squidward, the internet was going to be mean to that young person.
It's a fairly handsome gentleman, that Dream. Just has too much money and plays too much Minecraft. And I am old, so I'm old.
I don't know who that man is. I've heard of his face reveal. I heard of him, but I don't know who that man is. If I saw him in the street, sorry to that man. My apologies to that man. I only watch wrestling and Drag Race, and he's on neither one of them.
Yet, there is still time for him to join RuPaul's Drag Race.
I mean, come on, work, diva.
Anyway, I think we've done our due diligence here. Let's talk about TNA Impact.
Let's do it.
2024. Like I said, we'll talk about Fightful Select a little bit later. A pretty busy episode of Impact. This was their first round from the TV tapings in Philadelphia that were taped last week. So we're starting to get into the meat of the Rebellion build. What do you think of the overall show?
A lot of surprise run-ins, I guess you could say. A lot of debuts tonight. Quite pleased. Promo heavy show again. No, that's a lie. I lied. It was a good mix of wrestling and promos. I liked it. I'm very easily sports entertained, as you guys know. And this tonight was solid 4 out of 5 episode.
And as I've noticed, whenever they do these tapings, the first episode is going to be the wrestling heavy show. And then they're going to set up next week with a bunch of pre-tapes that they will have done on the first night of tapings. And that is okay, because they had some of these matches already mapped out. The 8-4-1, the Sabin versus Macklin match, they kind of got to a bit of an announcement by doing a little pre-tape promo. And then of course the big promotional match when they were selling tickets for the tapings were Nemeth versus Shelley. That's going to be next week. But regardless, it felt like they were really just putting matches out there with the beginning parts of the story for the latter half of the Rebellion build, which I don't mind. It was pretty good.
I'm excited for Rebellion. Now, the only thing I'm not excited about with Rebellion is that I'm going to be in St. Louis for Dynasty, but I'm going to bring my laptop. I think I'm going to work. The hardest working woman in professional wrestling. Bam, bam.
You are the other bots. It's fine.
Listen, all of us bots together, bot supremacy.
Something in bio.
Beep boop beep boop beep beep boop beep boop beep. Anyway,
if you want to get to Funky Town, how about you leave us a thumbs up on the video, and of course subscribe to us here at youtube.com/fightful. If you're listening in the audio realm, why haven't you left a 5-star review yet? We're cold and there are wolves after us, and we want your support and your love. So go ahead, leave us a 5-star review on this podcast, on any of the other podcasts. I get it. Maybe you're only listening for Sean, and maybe we just popped up on your feed. Maybe you're someone who's such a TNA super fan that you somehow sit through us every week, and you're just like, get to the conversation about TNA and stop talking about everything else. And we get there. We do. So leave a 5-star review, because we get there. We do. Or maybe you just need an excuse to say nice things. 5-star review. Go ahead. all major platforms. Thumbs up and all that. And of course, donate a super chat at youtube.com/Fightful. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. Or how about humperchats.com? That's our Streamlabs platform. And Chris is going to tell you all about it.
I debated doing this in a French accent, but I won't. But it's the beret. It's sending me. Ladies and gentlemen, you could take your... You said do it? Okay. So you take your fingers or your thumbs and you go to humperchats.com and you type in your how do you say it in English, your comment or your question read on air, and you'd be like, Joe Pearl, I'm like to from Mars, preferably in English, because we are stupid I'm stupid American, okay? So humperchats.com, je te clair.
When WWE Backlash is in Paris, or not in Paris, when they're in France. Mm-hmm. I need you on the post show, and I need you doing this exact same act for the entirety of the post show. I'm going to pitch this to Sean. You don't even have to do it. I'm going to tell Sean Cresta needs to do the post show. He's got a very, very good gimmick for the post show. And when he asks what it is, I'm going to tell him just to wait.
You're going to show him this clip right here. Like, hello, we just declare my name is Cresta Star. Thank you so much. This is Backlash in France.
Ho ho ho!
Croissant.
The backlash.
It is the backlash of the lash of the week. This is the only lash I know.
Well, and lash legend, of course.
I mean, lash legend and Trick Williams. So, I love a good wrestling couple. I know this is not the show, but I've been seeing the clips on Instagram and the Instagram intern for WWE. I see you. Such a cute little storyline. I'm here for it.
I'm a Lash LaRue guy. That's me.
I don't know who that is.
My WCW fandom coming out for you.
Okay, work. I'm proud of you.
They called him the Raging Cajun. Ho, ho, ho.
I hear Raging Cajun. I think of Gambit from X-Men. Mon ami.
Oh, I think of your phone going off with a text message.
That's not my phone. That's my roommate getting a message from a man.
That's even better. All right, let's start. Impact opens up with the 8-4-1 match. The match that you and I talked about last week is, oh God, I hope it's not happening. Please don't let it happen. Please don't tell me it's not happening. And then it did happen. Steph DeLander replaces Ash by Elegance, who got Botox. And then we'll get into that in a little bit. So she gets a team with Dani Luna, Rosemary, and Zaya Brookside. And then to open it up, they defeat the team of Havoc, Masha Slamovic, Jody Threat, and Alicia Edwards. And then in the four-way, Steph DeLander gets the win. She is the number one contender for the Knockouts Championship. She defeats Dani Luna, Rosemary, and Zaya Brookside in the fatal four-way. So once again, this match opens up with Ash by Elegance barely being heard, because for some reason the mics were messed up for the first half of this show. Something got weird with the production. Anyway, you can eventually hear George Iceman eventually, and Ash comes out with the bonnet on her head. They say, without saying she had Botox, she had Botox. Shout out to Dr. Rubenstein, does good work. And Steph DeLander is the replacement for this match. A pretty good match. We don't need to get... Let's just get to the four-way, because that's really all that matters. Uh-huh. Luna pins Masha Slamovic to move to the four-way, and that immediately gets Masha angry, and she goes after Zaya Brookside. Or, sorry, goes after Dani. Luna does Masha Slamovic. Can you tell it's late?
Yeah.
Zaya Brookside takes out Ash by Elegance by accident, and then Ash freaks out, sends Zaya into the ring post, and then Matt Cardona makes a surprise entrance. It's the Zack Ryder on, sorry, they call it radio silence on this brand.
Not the Zack Ryder.
The Zack Ryder. Hits it on Rosemary. Steph DeLander gets the victory. Number one contender.
We can never say that Bully Ray is the biggest heel, because Matt Cardona, unprovoked, hit the Zack Ryder. I wrote down that it's called radio silence, but now all I'm going to remember, like, knick-knack Zack Ryder. That's some scumbag. At first I was like, who is that? Was that Heath Slater? Was that the roster card? What is happening? Matt Cardona is known for a lot of things. Being a jerk is one of them. Welcome back. What you gonna do now? Your friend is in the system. You want to stop being a jabroni with them? I can't wait to see how this turns out. I'm happy Steph DeLander's here. It's a good shakeup. Tonight was also about introducing people, because we had a lot of bust-ups to me of tag teams, which... not mad, but replace them. If you're going to take away, replace. But we're replenishing our main roster. So I'm hoping that if this is where we're going, we're now going to get further episodes where we're adding new tag teams. The addition of GYV is amazing. But what else we got? You know, Rosemary and Havoc coming back was great. But what else we got?
Yeah, I agree. And with Cardona coming in, we don't know how long that's going to be. It could have just been for the tapings, because he did night one with Steph, and then he wasn't available for night two. He had another engagement. Matt Cardona is still a free agent, and he'll troll Sean Ross Sapp whenever he asks about it. He says, "I'm a free agent then, now, forever, together."
What a troll.
Regardless, this was a solid match. It is what it is. Steph DeLander making it a surprise appearance. I'm happy that she's replacing Ash by Elegance in what we were thinking was going to be a rebellion match between Elegance and, I'm using her name as if Elegance is her last name. We thought Ash by Elegance versus Jordan Grace was going to be the match. I'm happier to see Steph DeLander do it. And maybe Ash by Elegance gets involved later on. Maybe they become associates to Steph DeLander and Ash by Elegance. Maybe Steph DeLander and Ash by Elegance have a feud after this. I wouldn't hate that, but I do like where we're going, at least to Rebellion.
I mean, I feel like we're setting up an Ash and a Zaya Brookside. And personally speaking, I don't like to just crap on people. I think it doesn't make any sense that there's nothing constructive coming from the conversation. I want Ash by Elegance to have a proper match. It's cool that you're squashing girls, yelling at them, telling them to kiss your feet. But even if Zaya Brookside is your intro match, Zaya Brookside is a really good technical wrestler from the stuff I've seen. So I'm ready for Ash to move on beyond George Iceman being the best part of this. You know what I mean? I wouldn't mind her being in that situation if she showed some meat. And I think we talked about that last week when we spoke about it. So I'm hopeful for her. I hope that her and Zaya Brookside get some reps in. I would love to see her versus Chris DeLander. Is it Steph DeLander, or am I thinking of Chris DeLander? Steph DeLander. And Steph DeLander was, oh my God, what was her name before?
Persia Parada.
What was her name before that?
It was Persia Parada.
That's not, I'm thinking of somebody else. Never mind. I'm thinking of somebody else. Yeah.
Her NXT name was Persia Parada. Are you thinking of, who are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of Blair Davenport. That's what I'm thinking of.
Blair Davenport was Bea Priestley.
Okay. Never mind then. Whatever I was saying, throw it out the window. Wait,
one of them is British. What are we doing? Can you guess which one was British?
This is the part where I take the mirror and say, Cresta, not all white people look alike. You're such a racist. So my apologies to both young ladies. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
And it's B Priestley who's British. Because if I'm not mistaken, isn't that Will Ospreay's fiance?
No, they've broken up.
Yo, I'm so late. I'm late to every I would be late to my own funeral, bro.
Will's been with Alex Windsor for years now.
Next thing I'll be telling you about a hot up and comer by the name of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah. Paul Heyman, 1992, all over again.
Jesus Christ. Cresta, get it together. You heard about this fellow Alex Jones Styles? I heard he's pretty good.
He's called Alex Jones Styles. He's Uncle Alan rolling in his grave. Anyway, good
job. Listen, Kate trying to get heat. I'm trying to get heat with Kate too.
I'm gonna get so many weird DMs about this, and I'm so excited.
They're
for
like,
it.
Yo, who is this girl? She just be saying stuff, and it's true. Don't hold it against Joel. DM me instead and be like, why do you say the things that you do? And I'm gonna be like, depression and ADHD. Next match.
It'll be Cardona being like, you called it the Sack Rider, and I'll get Effie being like, good calling it the Sack Rider.
I said Zack Ryder, knowing that you're saying Sack Ryder is even better.
It's called the Sack Ryder. That's from the Effie thing that they were
That's
doing.
That's even better.
God bless. This is already off the rails, and we're just one match in. Macklin and Sabin. The Rascals have walked out on Steve Macklin, so Macklin and Sabin run into each other, and they challenge each other to a match. That's the main event tonight. Meanwhile, Time Machine, they're in the back. Fast forward to tonight. And Shelly's just being a total dick again and saying like, hey, now you're trying to be our friend, Chris Sabin, even though you weren't our friend last week and you're trying to climb ranks as a single. So I will too. And I'm like, you're both leaving. Why are you doing this if you're both leaving? It's very strange that they opened up this story as both men are about to depart the company officially on April 1st. I don't know what we're doing here.
Maybe it's an April Fool's joke.
It ain't an April Fool's joke, because on the night after Rebellion, they're booked for Smash Wrestling. So they're not going to take a booking for an outside company the night after the pay-per-view when there's a TV taping.
Okay, I see your logic and I don't like it. That being said, I don't know why they're starting this feud right now. Maybe it's like, don't leave. Let me show you what you could have. I don't know.
Maybe they're hoping to book them into a PPA type of deal. I don't know.
Like the handshake, the good hands.
I mean, we'll talk about Macklin in a little bit when it's the same. It's a similar conversation because Macklin's not officially out the door. We do know that his contract ends in the spring into the summer, and we don't know what his plans are. Meanwhile, we'll get to that a little later, how that all plays out. Meanwhile, so basically, like, you've got the splitting of Time Machine, we've got the splitting of Motor City Machine Guns, and then at the same time, you've got Ace of Base in the back, and they basically do the exact same thing. And it's very strange for them to just put this back to back. And then Ace is telling Chris Bay, hey, you know, good on you being in that Rebellion referendum last week, but I thought you would prioritize our tag team and our ranks in the tag division and recapturing the tag titles. And Chris Bay is like, no, you're like, I could do both. You tell him I can't do both. And Ace is like, no, you could do both. But like, you know, I challenged Frankie because he disrespected me. And that's why I did a singles match. What are you doing? And then Bay's like, I'll just do the same. Again, this is breaking my brain. Why are we doing this?
Yeah, I was so confused. Like, if we're breaking up Motor City Machine Guns a la Time Machine, and now we're breaking up ABC because their title reign is over, I think that there is something to be said about tag teams staying together during a time of adversity or titlelessness. And to break them up immediately, I think they just lost the tag title maybe a month and some change ago. I wouldn't do it. Again, if we're gonna have them be single stars, I wouldn't be upset about it. And if Motor City Machine Guns are actually leaving, I think you need to replenish it. Just having one GYV is not going to equal a Motor City Machine Guns and ABC breaking up.
At least we know that Ace Austin has re-signed with TNA.
Period. That came out
via Denise Salcedo. She had an interview with Ace this week, and Ace said that he has re-signed with TNA. So that's great. Chris has got some time left on his contract with TNA, but regardless, it's just a very strange thing to to run one after another with the Time Machine and then the Ace of Bays conversation. I'm not going to call it a split, just a little bit of a rift. I don't know what they're doing, but it's intriguing in like the weirdest way.
I hope they don't break up. I want the best for Ace of Bays. I think they are such a good tag team together. And again, I do think there's something to be said about a tag team staying together during a time of adversity. So don't be silly. Keep them together.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. They should, if anything, let them split off for a bit, go do the singles thing, and then come back to the tag division. I think that should have been the main takeaway from this.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have felt like there was animosity. It should have felt like, okay, let's focus on our own thing for a bit. We'll have each other's backs, but for now, I'm going to go after the X Division title. You're going to go after whatever. Like, I'm going to do something different. And then when we need each other, we'll have each other. They didn't do that. They made it weird. And Bay was like, I'm going to go challenge Frankie Kazarian too. How do you like them apples? And Ace is just like, okay. All right.
I don't know. But to me, it was just a weird conversation in general. I don't see why you're upset that your friend is thriving.
Right. Be supportive of your friends and partners.
That is a good free life lesson. Don't be a hater for free.
High tides lift all boats. Unless the tide is too high and then you got problems.
Or a Kraken.
The Ducks are currently playing the Seattle Kraken. GYV are taking on Diener. Diener continues his crowd decision gimmick, and I'm starting to think that the crowd hates Diener because Crest of Star, they wanted Diener to get the shit kicked out of him by GYV, and that's exactly what they did. However, I must point out, Tom Hannifin had my absolute line of the night when he was absolutely over it with Matthew Raywalt. Tom Hannifin, who, by the way, is from the Philly area, calls Matthew Raywalt, quote, a stupid Chicago bald man. All I needed to hear.
And honestly, I wrote that down too. What a line. He said, you stupid Chicago bald man. I was like, oh, that's so mean. But also,
it's accurate. It's fantastic.
When you're right, you're right.
That's right. Anyway, Yeah, Grit Your Teeth and GYV wins. I'm assuming that Cody Deaner is going to find a friend.
I was hoping he's going to find a friend tonight, but okay. So first of all, I think I've talked about this when I very, very first started this show, how I liked the Deaners. And for a hot moment, I thought we were getting cool, fun, wild, cool, drunk Deaner again. And then he just got beat up. These people don't like you. I agree. These people don't like you. But who's going to be his friend? You kind of spent the better part of a year and some change beating people up to try to make them join your cult and lose. So who are you going to get? I believe in Joe Hendry.
That's later. We're going to talk about that. It's very weird. Nick Nemeth is interrupted by Alex Shelley. Shelley says, I beat the system once, or at least I almost did, except for Kushida, who threw in the towel. And I'm like, seriously, you're still on this, hey? Okay. And then Nemeth, this is interesting. Nemeth is like, hey, how about when I win the world championship at Rebellion, you get first crack at the world title? And then Shelley's like, why wait? And Nemeth is like, okay. Nemeth is basically all of us in that moment. You're being offered a free title shot, and your immediate reaction is, nah, let's just do it next week. Very confusing.
I mean, I don't know. Shelly's giving, I just broke up with my girlfriend. I'm living dangerously. So what? I woke up and washed my mouth with whiskey. Do you want to fight now? We could fight after I win for the title. No, I want to fight you now. And my friends, they kind of suck. The friends standing right behind me like, yo, what the hell? Like, I like it. It's a rebel without a cause, though. Does that make sense? It's kind of a rebel without a cause. Like, if you're that mad at Kushida, have a one-on-one with Kushida instead of arguing. Your friends argue all the time, B. Sometimes you just got to go one-on-one with your friend, dap it up, and have a beer. Look at the bar. They literally fought for months. And then it's like, why are we fighting? I don't even know. You want to fight together? Yeah. Sometimes you got to fight your friends.
It's a toddler mentality, and it's very strange. And
yeah. Or not a toddler. But like right above a toddler, I don't like Susie because Susie smells bad. Susie right behind you, like,
what did you say?
I didn't say anything. Only a loser would be spying on other people's conversations, Susie.
and like, I see chat being like, Shelly's definitely turning heel during this match. Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's great. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I'm not going to spoil anything, but they're leaving.
He did say that. He said that like 10 minutes ago.
They're leaving. It's just, it's very strange. And I guess, listen, you got to play up to the people who maybe don't know. But at the same time, it's like you're kind of kicking those who do know right in the dick. And that's fine if your name is Adam Copeland. But like, you can't do that to everyone.
Yo, I saw that match. It's crazy how you said I quit when it was going above your head and not for the yam bags. Wow. Deflated yam bag. Oh, I don't even. Oof. Okay, next match.
I'll tell you this much. I spent the entirety of that Dynamite yelling, kick him in the dick.
I mean, yes, but also,
I got my wish.
He did more than kick him in the dick. You should have woke up. And the first time it happened, I was just like, you should have woke up.
This is the one time where Christian should have turned to Taz and said, Taz! My balls! And Taz would have been like, I know, buddy! Should have wore a cup.
Well, I guess he won't be fathering any more children.
You never was in the first place. They're all adopted. I did this bit already like 20 years ago. Josh Alexander defeats Tracy Williams. It's good to see Hot Sauce back, if not back in TNA, but back in a wrestling ring. I haven't seen him a lot wrestling lately, so it's really good. Pre-match promo, Josh Alexander puts over the city of Philadelphia, says it's had great moments, great adversity, yada yada. And they say Santino Morella gave him an open challenge contract for tonight, and he challenges Alexander Hammerstone. Hammerstone's not there. Tracy Williams comes out, and they have a great back and forth match. They do a spot with the DDT on the top ring buckle from Williams. And that's so good and so effective. Tracy Williams is really hard hitting submission, which I really appreciate that. He's going after Josh Alexander until Alexander hits a C4 spike, gets the win to the surprise of nobody. But Alexander putting on a banger match at least gets him closer to that Rebellion match, because afterwards, Josh Alexander shakes Tracy Williams' hand, raises it up, Hammerstone blindsides both men and attacks them. Crest the Star, the match, and the Hammerstone attack.
I had never heard of or seen Tracy Williams until this moment, and I would love to see him more. He is so good. That was a really good match. And personally speaking, Josh Alexander is getting to that point with me where if you can't have a good match with Josh Alexander, maybe it's you, bro. That match was so good for no reason on a random Thursday. So good. I knew Alex Hammond. I knew you would show up, you jerk. You are a jerk. Why didn't you come out and answer the open call? That C4 spike at the end, gnarly, nasty. I hope that, I hope that we see more of Tracy Williams going forward. He looked like he would fit in old school ECW. Not even thinking about it. He's so good. So good. I don't know what we're going to do with Hammerstone. Because part of me is like, Hammerstone is so big. I wouldn't mind Alexander like putting him over, like beat him clean.
Could be happening. They got a third match. They've got a rubber match coming up.
I mean, I wouldn't hate it. Alex Hammerstone is a star, baby. So is Josh Alexander. But if Josh Alexander ever wanted to take time off and not be the standard bearer of TNA, Alex Hammerstone is a wonderful person to, you know, go to Disney World. You know what I mean? Alex, you and Jay Chung, y'all take y'all children to go to Disney World. Having you a good time.
Well, the whole thing with Alexander is that if he does take time off, he's still the heart and soul of the company. Yeah. But someone like Hammerstone running roughshod, being like, I ripped out the heart of TNA. Yeah. That's a good thing you can work on and have Hammerstone eventually win a world championship and have Alexander come around to beat him for it. Because you could
That's
do
exactly what I was getting at. Yeah.
You can have Nemeth win the world title and Hammerstone be next in line and then come back around to Alexander next round again. That would be fun.
That'd be really good. No, like you, I agree with what you said 100%. Because, no. There's two hearts in there. The heart of the X Division, I low key feel, is Speedball. Because he's just like, he's always there. But Josh Alexander, absolutely, in this moment, much like Eddie Edwards was for a very long time, the heart and soul of TNA, now Josh Alexander is.
Well, speaking of the X Division, Mustafa Ali is backstage with Santino. He's got the cover of PWG. Now, this is the funny thing. I've said this before on the show. I read the spoilers for all the tapings. I cover the spoilers as well. And I knew about the PWI cover because he comes out with a big blown-up version of the PWI cover during the tapings. Okay, I'm not spoiling anything. He already showed you it's going to happen more than once. And then, of course, Ali is sitting on social media being like, I've got a huge announcement on the March 28th or March 27th, whatever it was. And everyone's like, what's the huge announcement? What's the big announcement? What could it be? Oh, my God. And then he unveils it's the PWI cover. And I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. I knew this last week. Ooh. I saw this last week.
So you had the scoops.
I did. The city of Philadelphia had the scoops. I just didn't know what Ali's big announcement was because it could have been a new date with like another company. It could have been another like a big New Japan title match or whatever. Like he's working Windy City Riot, but like regardless, didn't expect it to be that. Anyway, he's backstage showing off the PWI cover and he doesn't believe that Jake Something is qualified. Once again, they do the no limits joke. They ask, what is Something hiding with a name like Something? It's very funny, very comedic, but it's very like serious Ali. And of course, Santino Marella being Santino Marella. Anyway, Santino mentions Rhino. And of course, if you say his name, then he appears. I don't F with the Rhino is what I'd probably say in that regard. And he challenges Ali to an old school rules match. Speaking of ECW, non-title. What do you think of this match? No, what do you think of this segment? Because it's not a match. The match is next week.
Honestly, so Rhino getting cheated out of his boots. Let's start there. Secondly, this man.
Oh, hold on. It's old school rules. So anything goes. That's how it works. You're in Philly, the home of ECW. You go ahead. You go hardcore.
That's true. But I don't think that it'll be fair that the good hands who are still trying to get in the good graces of Ali will be there to cheat. They'll get a gore for their troubles, but Ali will pick up the pin. I do like him like, yo, bro, Jake Something? What is a name like that? This, I love a good chicken shit. I do. I wish I was watching wrestling when JBL would potentially get counted out because this is what I'm here for. This is, yo, you're campaigning before the match even starts about, he's too big and this is ridiculous. It is out of order. So it's kind of like, that's crazy, Ali. What you going to do when you try to challenge someone like a Josh Alexander or Alex Hammerstone for the main event scene? Because I know that's where this is going. What you going to do then? You going to campaign? I'm here for it. This is such good shit, pal.
Speaking of both men you just mentioned, Jonathan's super chat saying Josh putting over Hammerstone would be the best because Josh might not re-sign once his extension is up. Got to build the next top guy. It's a good point. You've got a year of Josh, though. You have an entire calendar year, so you could still get one last big thing out of him, whether that's a run or a title match or a title run. That's going to be up to creative. And also, you know, Josh could still re-sign. Something could happen between now and the end of the contract that keeps him around. I understand that Scott D'Amore was a huge reason for a lot of these talents to stick around, but who knows where they'll be in a year. Could be better, could be the same, could be worse. But as of right now, that's just kind of where we're at with Josh.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That was wonderful.
What? Oh, did you hear that? I muted. I thought I muted.
Yeah, you muted. I just saw it as I was, I threw to you and I noticed you were in the midst of it.
Sometimes you got to get it out. Don't pay rent. No, I don't hate the idea what you had said earlier about Alex Harrison running roughshod. It's one of those things that if you do take out Alexander, he's such a beloved figure in TNA that no matter who else, who it is going to be a star. I still believe in that for Steve Maclin. You could do a heel versus heel and you could have Hammerstone absolutely destroy Steve Maclin, who has a compelling story, and you could do a face turn on Maclin. Someone who's been busting their butt, who's been owed a rematch from Josh Alexander. To have someone like Hammerstone take out Alexander, I'd be pissed as hell too. You know, this was supposed to be my match. You come out of nowhere, screw you, guy. I could see it. I think there's plenty of ways for it to go. And I really do hope Josh Alexander resigns. However, I can understand. Sometimes you don't want to always eat McDonald's. Sometimes you want Burger King.
Sometimes you want to work on the G1. And sometimes you want to take that money and spend it on FightfulSelect.com. The best $5 in the business, baby.
That's a good segue.
Thank you very much. Fightful Select, we have our Discord up right and running, and it's fun, and it's there. There's an In the Weeds Discord. That's where I spend my time because I host a show on Fightful Overbooked, our sister channel called In the Weeds, where we talk about wrestling, and we talk about life, and we talk about all the stuff, and we interview wrestlers. Chris Masters was on this past week. Good times. We also have tons of news and scoops for you. AJ Francis signing a deal with TNA through the rest of the year. FightfulSelect.com. You want Mustafa Ali contract updates? He's still a free agent. FightfulSelect.com. You want a live Q&A with Sean Ross Sapp from today? FightfulSelect.com. Sour Graps, and of course, WrestleMania is around the corner, so all the scoops will be there, along with the exclusive content that you so richly deserve and need. And I mentioned the Discord. Get in there. You want Sean to answer your question before the Q&A? It's on the Discord, and Sean's active there, and I'm active there, and all the staff and all the pals are active there. Best $5 in the business. FightfulSelect.com. What are you waiting for? That's like a junior chicken at McDonald's, right? They $5 now? I don't know.
Not me being muted. I don't know. Everything is so expensive now. Wasn't it like $1? It actually is like $5 for a McChicken.
It's like a McPix or whatever. They've got a drink and a fries.
They got me McFucked up. That's what they got me. Should be $3.
Edwards takes on Speedball Mike Bailey and beats him with a little bit of help from the system. Myers and Lish are involved. Referee gets distracted. Myers holds up Speedball, but Trent Seven makes a save. Then they do a back and forth until Edwards hits the Boston Knee Party for the win. This match was great, not just because Edwards and Speedball have great chemistry, but also because Cresta Star. What have I said about Speedball for the longest time? What have I wanted from him more than anything in the world? A mean streak. I got really sick of the audio being dead.
I'm sorry, I had to think, and the only thing I was like, carrots? I know that's not accurate, but that's the
Word that carrots. That's for sure what I wanted from Speedball Mike Bailey was carrots. I wanted him to be a giant bunny. Happy Easter to everyone.
Carrots. I do love a good raw carrot. Awesome. No, I was thinking like Kenny King is somewhere like, y'all finally see who I'm talking about. This guy is an asshole. I don't like him. I mean, honestly, you got to be mean though to deal with the system. The system was cheating so much, I forgot Trent Seven was out there with Speedball. Like, that's how bad it is. These are well-documented cheaters. The chest chops, I personally thought Eddie Edwards beat the crap out of Speedball this whole match. Speedball got in some offense, yeah, but there was a nasty mean streak to Eddie Edwards tonight. I'm not even upset about it. The Ultimo Weapon missing clean and him landing on both of his knees, I was like, oof, that's it. That's worse than any cheating. That was worse than any cheating, I think. I don't know what we're going to do here. The system is really annoying, but you need like an Honor No More. And I can't believe I'm a professional Honor No More hater, but you need a Bullet Club or something to deal with these guys because they're kind of the worst. In a good way, like this is a great heel faction. When everything negative I'm saying about them is a compliment, they're the worst. They're great at cheating. These guys are jerks, and to go against them, even in a tag, you have to have a million people, and you need a girl. Unless you're Matt Cardona and you don't mind Bully Ray, you don't mind just hitting women. You know what I mean?
Listen, it was just a sack rider. It wasn't anything big.
And some people are like, "Well, I'm not hitting the girl." I like. Honestly, there are some girls in wrestling. I'm like, yo, this person is a notorious pot stirrer. Love Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley needs to get body slammed. Love Lisha Edwards. Needs to get body slammed. You guys are always stirring the pot. I felt that way about Vicky Guerrero for a long time. Like, love you. You need to get body slammed because you know what you're doing. And Maria Kanellis too, but Maria Kanellis will take the ball. So.
You will. I say this frequently, and I agree with you. The system works.
It works.
Yeah, pardon the pun. It does because it's four characters who are already disliked and they get to keep doing it and be there's no like, oh, we kind of like him because they're kind of cool heels. No, they're not. They're not cool at all. They are just four bad people. And it works. I can't say bad guys because you got Lish and she's, you know.
I mean, that's very, there are four bad people.
It's four bad people, great wrestlers. It's bad people,
and you genuinely don't feel bad if they get beat up. And like again, no matter who beats them, you're like, yes, oh my god, I'm sick of this guy, I'm sick of this Moose fella, I'm sick of this Eddie Edwards fella, I'm so sick of him. I kind of want Lish to win the Knockouts Women Champions. I want it for maximum chaos. I want Jordynne Grace to get cheated out of her boots. I just want it. I want that more than anything in the world. Let's be like, yo, we are sick of the system. I don't care how it works. You Santina Marella, come now.
Listen, no offense to Lisha Edwards. We've talked about her a lot. And I actually really like her as a wrestler, and I actually really like her as a human being. When she came out in her gear wearing a t-shirt, I thought to myself, when did Lish wrestle? And then I realized she was in the 841 because the 841, she was out in the first, you know, she wasn't
in the
four way. Yeah. She was in the eight and she was probably like number eight out of eight. I was just kind of like, Oh, she was in that match. Okay. That was it. She's a wonderful addition to the system. And like we said, when they did that one rundown segment where they're all going after their accomplishments and Lish is just like, and Lish, and that's it. That's all it is right now for her. And that's okay because she actually is doing really well as like the manager and as the distraction for the system. And that's fine. Her time will come again. We talked about the Knockouts title match she had with Trinity way back at Victory Road. That was the first gimmicky comedy schmozzy match that Trinity had in TNA or in Impact as it was at the time. And it served its purpose for Trinity's development in Impact. There's room for Lish again. It's just not right now.
I think this is the best presentation of her that I've seen since I started watching TNA. It is exactly like you said, that it's that perfect valet manager. I'm annoying, I'm cheating. And much like Maria Kanellis, who, like, there are certain women in professional wrestling who do that valet role really well. Zelina Vega, obviously, I know I was going to say her. Her, Maria Kanellis, and even Lish. Oh, I'm going to be a piece of crap, but I'm also going to take the bump. I'm also going to take the bump. Like, I like Rhea Ripley, but, like, bro, you always stand in the way for the Judgment Day. Now I just got to big boot you or something. Like, you got to take the bump at some point. It has to pay off. Even Dixie Carter took the bump.
And they spent weeks telling you about it. PCO, by the way, some reason he wants a Monsters Ball match with Khan. Don't know why. Seems to be repeating it, so we're going to do that. I know why we're doing it. Yes, his brain cell is focused on a Monsters Ball match with Khan. I'm fine. I'm for it. Let's do it. Have these two men beat the crap out of each other. Let's go.
I'm going to say what I always say. I'm not excited for this match. After I see the match, wow, what a great match.
Yeah. Kazarian's backstage talks about Bible verses and beatdowns for Eric Young at Rebellion. He calls himself the King of TNA, and I say bring on the King of the Mountain match that you're going to do inevitably. And then Chris Bay steps up, challenges him to a match next week. Kazarian accepts, and then he's like, oh, good line about the slides. And I thought that was just so funny and so stupid. So Kazarian and Bay next week.
My religious trauma.
I'm a Jew. Nothing else. Nothing really got through to me on that one.
I mean, he said it, and then my brain just said, I can't. I'm not listening anymore. Yeah, the only Bible verses, I don't know anything about, no, John 3:16, but also 3:16 just says I whipped your ass. So that's the only Bible verse I know.
New TNA signee AJ Francis is out with Rich Swann, who's been around Impact for the last few years. They cut a promo. They call themselves First Class. That's the new name of their group, I guess, tag team, whatever. Listen, this was a lot to get to a point, which was AJ Francis being like, yeah, I recruited Rich Swann, and then Rich Swann being like, yes, Joe Hendry stole the spotlight from me, and then I used to have fire, and AJ brought it back. But there's one line that AJ Francis says, and I'm like, I don't know if this really works. He says, pretty women with pretty eyes, thick thighs, and the first class flights. And I'm like, are the women on the flights? What are we doing? What do the women have to do with the flying?
He's saying that these beautiful women surround him, but they don't get on the flights with him because women are dumb and we don't respect them. Ben, I'm assuming. Don't. Oh my God, someone's gonna clip that.
I'm so excited for them to come after you for that.
You know what? As a directly affected party, I think I'm allowed.
Really? Well, I mean, I guess it's okay.
Listen, I get told all the time that while simultaneously knowing nothing about wrestling, I only got this job because I'm an AI bot who slept around to get here. So, you know, we all got our cross to bear.
So, for those who don't know, by the way, First Class is also Dollar's first EP. That was the name of his first EP. So he dug deep for that.
I respect it. There's a lot of integration with wrestlers and the crossover with music. Chris Bay, Swerve, Mercedes. I feel like I'm missing one other person. Kurt Hennig?
No, Kurt Hennig. Oh, me 1999. Man Hogan. 1999, WCW, rap is crap. Let's go, baby. West Texas Rednecks. They love country music.
Not the Macho Man.
They love country girls. They love everything. Don't forget about Merle. Talking about Merle Haggard. There's only one thing that I hate, because it's a bunch of crap. Hey, rap. Go back and just go.
I shan't be doing that.
It was a time.
I will say, I hope that Rich Swann being so likable puts a better taste in people's mouth about AJ Francis. I'm all here for the underdog winning and all that good stuff, but I think people are just hating on AJ Francis now because it's the thing to do. It's giving, we're booing Cody because we like to boo Cody. I don't think he's doing that bad. Maybe I'm missing something. I don't think he's doing that bad. Am I missing something?
Conan also used to rap. He did the Filthy Animals rap in WCW.
That's not what I asked you, Joel. So I'm missing something. Thank you so much for your expert comment.
No, listen, Dollar is fine. I have no problems with Top Dollar. I wish he would do my show because doing everyone else's show, Jeremy Lambert just wants to battle rap him for charity, but Dollar is too busy talking about First Class and all that.
He's a cheeser champion. He's very busy. He has to go fill his cheeser obligations.
I ain't seen him with that belt in a while. Regardless, Dollar's got a new teammate. and it's going to be fine. And you know what? You talk about other tag teams splitting up. This is one that might actually, you know, go the distance.
Or not. I don't know. I don't. Listen, while I don't see the AJ Francis hate, I do think for him to leave in a situation where he was in a tag team to go back into a situation where he's going to be in a tag team, I think it'd be better for him if he didn't. That's just me.
I will say this. AJ Francis is actually a really good dude, a really good wrestler, and a hard worker. And I think the people who have problems with him may just be rubbed the wrong way by his attitude, because sometimes he's abrasive, but really he's just a fun guy. Like, I personally have had nothing but positive interactions publicly and privately with him. So I don't know where the hate comes from. I think some people are just kind of stuck in the how he was treated and how he acted in WWE mentality. And those people just have nothing else on their minds but that. That's fine.
Hyperbole.
Pretty much. It's kind of, anyway. Dex Baker sent a super chat saying cheated out of their boots is a phrase I say constantly because of this show. And that's basically what First Class will do, is cheat you out of their boots.
It's such a good phrase, because you know, when there are some people, when you go to wrestle against them, AJ Francis in this situation and Rich Homie Swan, I know you're going to cheat me out my boots. Wrestling against Jeff Jarrett, I know you're going to cheat me out my boots. The Bloodline, I know you're going to cheat me out my... Nah. You want to run in. Rengar, Bully Ray, definitely going to cheat me out of my boots.
That's right.
Now I got every flavor bean on screen. That's what you get for cheating out your boots. Next match. Now she's going to stay here because I've had it with her.
She's going to start going after your microphone in a sec. It's going to be great. Tom Hannifin interviews Laredo Kid. It's a good piece. I hope that this could be the first luchador that actually starts winning matches in TNA, Cresta Star. What do you think about Laredo Kid getting
it? I thought about that too. I'm like, why y'all interviewing him and y'all know you're not about to make him win? Don't do that. Don't do that. It was very compelling. It was very well put together. I didn't know that he almost lost his life after that match with El Hijo de Vikingo. I'm like, okay, but y'all are doing this, so he's going to win, right? Right?
Maybe not. We'll see. But I do like that they're putting some emphasis on him, because they at least make you want to believe that he could win.
I mean, sometimes you just gotta, you know, I believe. I don't know what I believe. Oh, I haven't seen it in chat too, and also have it in my notes. FBI is coming next week. I don't know who those people are.
So I didn't really want to bring up the FBI return, because I wanted to wait to get your reaction next week, because I know what's going to, I know what happens, and I know the deal, and I don't want to bring it up, but yes, they're going to be there. For those who don't know, FBI were a very popular stable in ECW back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And this is a couple of them coming back, and maybe some new blood as well. So regardless, I didn't want to bring it up. It was also like a shots of New York, FBI is coming. Like,
I feel like I'm gonna be disrespected. It's gonna be very 1980s. Hey Tony, I'm from New York, Brooklyn. Hey. I'm like,
not so much. No, and as a New Yorker yourself, you'll probably get it.
Okay, as long as it's not a New York, I would hate to have to get offensive.
I mean, listen, it's very Brooklyn, but you'll see. They're fine.
I'm already offended.
Main event time. Get your super chats in as we get to the home stretch. Steve Maclin defeats Chris Sabin, and I swear to God, every time this happens, I see it. Chris Sabin is the only person in TNA ever whose intro video gets shown on like the full screen. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why it's just him. It's this, I don't get it. Anyway, this match is really good. It's expected to be good. It was going to be good. Mm-hmm. Mac and Saban have great chemistry. They go out and they work. And then the conversation I'm picking up from earlier, Macklin gets the win. He beats Chris Sabin. We know Saban's leaving. We know Shelly's leaving as well. Macklin is still up in the air. He's got a little bit more time on this contract. So I'm happy that Macklin got the victory. But this is, again, still a very weird situation that TNA finds themselves in. Let's talk about the match. It's good stuff. Are we rebuilding Macklin in case he sticks around for a little bit longer to have another match with Nick Nemeth? Is that what we're thinking?
I would love to. I would hope so. I do think that Macklin does add a lot of value to TNA. They also had a lot of good chemistry. I would love to look at my notes, but Bully Ray has sat on them. So the cat is no longer in my lap, but now on my notes. So now I'm winging it at this point. So like, commentary did put over that Chris Sabin has always beaten Steve Maclin. Steve Maclin has never beaten Chris Sabin in one-on-one in one-on-one competition. I'm trying to also fix my focus, y'all. Bear with me. So I think that, like you said, this match was already going to be a banger no matter what we did. So I'm happy. I hope Macklin stays around because, like I said, if this is a way where Hammerstone is now the run and rough shot and you get a face turn on Macklin, I'd be interested to see how that would go. And Macklin versus Hammerstone, yes, please. Yes, please. If, like you said, I don't know, something could happen in the 11th hour. Motor City Machine Guns could stay. But if they're leaving, I don't think it's a bad way to lose on your way out to Macklin.
I agree. Because again, you got Macklin sticking around for longer. You've got Macklin who looks good regardless out of this. And Saban takes the L on potentially his way out. He's got a few weeks left, but as of April 1st, that's the end of it. The Busaiko knee from Macklin. I got to talk about this for a second. I really liked that he hits the Busaiko knee on the outside. So that's a knee to the head. And then he rolls Saban in. Saban's selling it great. And then he goes right into the jar headbutt. That is so good. And it's so small. But I hit the head. I'm going to hit the head again. There's some really good just moments of psychology there, which are good. I'm not going to go too far, but I do like that they're starting to use the Mayhem for All as a finish. That's the deep looking Michinoku driver that looked really gross on Chris Sabin. And finally, Steve Macklin. Listen, Steve, I know you're listening. Can I call you Steve? I got to tell you, that Lope you've been doing, the Scud was what they're calling it. I think you have to stop trying it.
Yo, when he missed it, he ate so much shit. I felt so bad.
All he does with the Scud is he just keeps eating shit. And if that's your heat spot, I get it. That's fine. Listen, between us, it's fine. But you got to stop doing it if you're just going to eat shit.
Maybe okay. Maybe it's just real believable. You know what it is? You know, like how some wrestlers, you'd be like, damn, you dying. Maybe it's just really believable. Maybe he not. Like you said, maybe it's just the heat spot. Maybe he's just getting the heat. Maybe he's not eating shit. He's just a really good wrestler, and we believe he is.
Anyway, second time's a charm for Cotton Crosshairs. But I do like, again, going back to the psychology of the match and just the reverence and respect these two have for each other. Mm-hmm. The KIA gets turned into a good bridge suplex from Saban.
That was really nice.
Yes, Macklin kicks right out and immediately goes to the second KIA, gets the win. I liked the finish of this match. It was so straightforward and so simple that two A-plus wrestlers on this show can go out and have an A-plus TV main event that has stakes, but they're not completely defined stakes. They're just trying to get closer to getting to the top of the TNA rankings that don't really exist. But realistically, let's just say that they do in this case.
This was a solid match. No, it was a solid match. And that is a blessing and a curse that TNA has, because I know no matter what match goes on, let me complain about PCO for 2 weeks. PCO will have a matchup like that crazy old bastard. That was such a good match. So not everything needs stakes, but because everything is so good, it's kind of like, I wish there were stakes, but how many belts can you have? Some of these people are just really good wrestlers, and TNA just happens to employ a lot of good wrestlers. Case in point with our main event.
We got less than a month until Rebellion. We'll be back next week, as we always do. We'll be covering the show. We'll be talking about it. Will you not be here?
I might be in Philadelphia for Russell.
Everyone's talking about being there. Listen, if I got to do it alone, I think that week, the week after WrestleMania, I'm doing the AEW post show. I'm doing this show. I'm doing the Friday SmackDown post show. I am doing In the Weeds Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of that week. I'm basically going to be more on this channel than you've ever seen.
It's Fightful with Joe Pearl. Step aside, Sean Ross. Everyone's going to go meet up besides Joe Pearl.
For that week, I'm going to change the name of this stupid YouTube channel. It's no longer going to be Fightful Wrestling with Sean Ross. It's going to be Fightful Wrestling with Joel Pearl. And people are just going to be like, who the hell is this guy? I'm going to be like, watch me, not Liv Morgan. Watch me. I got a note on the bottom of my notes saying, do your invoice. Anyway, Crest of Star, it's time to go out of here. So plug your stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you so much for watching. Every Thursday, I am here with the, you know what? We're gonna do the cute point. Shut up. You're working right now.
That sound.
She's a yeller. She's fine. Every Thursday, I am here with Joe Pearl. We go over all things with TNA. every Saturday for the most part. I'm over on Fightful again with Ricky Chino and Joel Pearl, Ridian's gonna kill me. Except this Saturday, where we're all gonna be at WrestleMania, except for Joel Pearl, who's gonna be Squidward staring out of the window while me and Patrick have fun. I just did an interview with Queen of the Ring where we talked about Goldberg, where we called him Oldberg, and then suggested he did OnlyFans and called him Holberg. So I want you guys to go ahead and check that out. Besides that, you can find me over on X at Cresta the Star, like Megan the Stallion, CrestaStarr. There's a link tree in my bio where you can find all of this stuff. Bully Ray, say goodnight to everyone. Bully Ray's ignoring orders. Joel Pearl, where can they find you?
Yeah, that cat's so done with you right now.
She's pissed.
Like, get me the hell out of here. I'm easy to find. I just mentioned In the Weeds. That's over on Fightful Overbook. That's our sister station. Go and join that right now if you haven't already. And if you haven't left a thumbs up on the video, go ahead and do it. I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. I'm just go to Fightful Overbook. That's where I'm at. If I'm not here, then I'm on Overbook. So just go find me there, and we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.